UVA goes 1-0 while Jay Willie goes 1-1. We had to start. We review William and Mary, and UVA prepares for number one. Yes, we had to, Jay Willie.
I'm not happy. Well, I'm happy about today, but I'm not happy about my football team. Tough Monday night.
But Jay, when y'all were 11-0, you sounded a lot different.
I know it.
It's still your football team. I know you're not happy, but you got to take the good with the bad. Just like if y'all lose, God forbid, in basketball, you still coming over here. And I know you're going to do and say the right thing. With no shame, no ostrich in your game. You going to hold your head up high and talk about your Steelers with your heart on your chest. Let's go.
How motivational is that?
I'm still with my boys, but the big fella, Big Ben, was seeing ghosts yesterday. I'd never seen that. I don't think I've ever seen a play as bad as he played in that first
game. Nervous in the pocket, seeing ghosts?
It was everything. He was overthrowing. He was throwing, didn't see defenders, but it's okay. We still in the playoffs. We got hopefully two games to correct this. I'm not sure exactly what's going on, but I do think the offense is a combination of the run game, and I think his arm. I don't think they're letting on. I think he's injured. They won't tell us that though. But that's neither here nor there. We're here to talk about the Cavaliers. Let's go, Mark.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Jay Willie Show alongside DJ YB and Coach Jason Williford. I'm your host, Mark Jerome. Jay Wills, I was going to have a special guest, surprise guest come on, but he couldn't make it because he had basketball practice. He's volunteering his time. Who do you think it was?
He's volunteering his time?
Volunteering his time to be a high school basketball coach. An absence
That's the white mamba, Grant Kersey.
No. Ooh. No. Congratulations to Grant for getting a job at STAB, right? At St. Anne's.
He's volunteering.
The assistant of Damon Altimer. A volunteer assistant coach in Indiana.
Kyle Guy's dad.
Big Joe was gonna come on talking about the game last night.
I was gonna say Kyle Guy better be somewhere playing with the Kings. Oh man, Joe's probably in heaven right now too. But that's like their Super Bowl. They beat us. That made their season. That's okay. You know they haven't beat us in like 12. It's like the first win in the last 12 games for them. So
I don't know, but I texted both of you last night. And Big Joe answered, and you didn't.
All right. I wasn't in the mood.
All right. Long day for you today.
It was.
What time did you get started this morning?
It was a good day. What time did we get up
and walk
the dog and feed the dog and do all of that and then get to the gym?
Get ready for the game.
Yeah, I was in the gym with that Green Machine group. We work out prior to every home game. So we were in the gym. They lifted at about 10:30 and we were doing basketball stuff at 11:30.
Okay.
And then, you know, obviously we played at 2. So getting ready for the game with those guys and getting some of those guys extra work.
That's great to hear. And Mike is still in the gym with them too?
Mike does the lift, and then Coach Vandross and I do the skill development.
That's great.
Basketball work.
That's awesome. Great inner level of energy today versus William and Mary. You had to be excited.
No, that was a challenge that Tone had a challenge to those guys to try to muster up more energy. You know, it's different. Obviously with COVID and less fans in the building and the energy levels just different in general. So just trying to generate that level of excitement and energy. I thought I thought the guys were ready. I thought Kihei did a very good job of getting us started. He attacked, got downhill offensively, but he also set the tone defensively. And then the guys on the bench were very into it. And we had team claps and defensive chants. We sounded like a Canadian AAU program.
First game in nearly 3 weeks. What were practices like over the last 4 or 5 days?
Yeah, you know, we first practice was Saturday, so it was good. But it obviously the focus was more on setting the tone defensively and having that urgency on the defensive end. You know, we're going to see all kind of ball screens and teams get out in transition and try to attack and get downhill on us. And that's what we practice. You know, there was a lot more focus on correcting our defense and getting better in that regard.
Yeah, let's stay with the defense then. I don't think there was a transition fast break for William & Mary today.
Yeah, we gave up one or two. I think we gave maybe off of a long three rebound or maybe a turnover. I think we got second half, we lost the guy. He got behind us and got an easy bucket in transition. But for the most part, you know, we're going to – getting ready for this next game, we're going to have to get back in transition. So, you know, we know how important that is moving forward.
Yep. Chris, on our halftime show – Chris Havlicek talked about the defense really pushing, extended out the offense for William & Mary, and they're not allowing them to get close to the basket, right? And they had to take a lot of long threes. And that looked like it had a lot to do with the defensive pressure applied by not just the guards, but the rotation seemed like it was a lot better today.
Yeah, we came out with a lot more urgency. I thought the focus was there defensively. And they are a three-point shooting team. And so they, you know, they stretch you and you got to be able to get to shooters and then you got to rebound. Unfortunately, I thought the one area we can be better in is the rebound, defensive rebound. I think we gave up almost 15 offensive boards today, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere between 13 and 15 offensive boards. I don't have it in front of me, but I feel like it was too many boards that we gave up, second chance opportunities. And We're going to have to correct that moving forward.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that high, but I'm going to look it up or have somebody, hopefully T-Dubs can get that stat for us, our producer and everything, missed everything for us. But, you know, offensive rebounds sometimes, is clearly you can do something about it, but can also be hard to contain when you have long threes, right? Long threes lead to offensive rebounds.
Well, and that was something we kept telling the guards. You guys have to come in, you know, long threes mean long rebounds, so you guys got to come back in and snag those long ones and help us. And then there were a couple where we, you know, both guys or two guys are going for the ball, they bobble the ball and they lose it. So it, you know, it wasn't an effort thing, it's just, you know, finishing the possession.
Right. One of the things I saw today, it seems to seem like the communication was so much better. And at one point, I think it was a bad offensive possession and then a breakdown on defense that led to a layup where nobody picked up somebody from William & Mary and they got a basket, a wide open guy underneath the basket. Following that play, first time I've seen this all season, I'm not saying it hasn't happened, and I'm not saying it hasn't happened in practice, first time I've seen it, Sam made a great leadership move where he gathered everybody in, put his arms around guys, and just showed something. And I don't know if this is from his veteran, just being a veteran or just having that level of IQ and understanding and being a little older. But it just looked like, okay, here we go. Now someone's being a leader.
And I think we need that. We need that. We gotta those guys have to lead and be vocal and hold each other accountable. And that's good to see. And that's something we've been emphasizing. You know, listen, teams are good, coaches can do their part, but when players are the leaders and they're vocal and they take the ownership, you know, I think that's when teams become special.
Right.
So we're just trying to continue to work on that.
Right. Absolutely. You gave up 14 offensive rebounds.
Yeah, I knew it was in the teens, which, you know, again, we got to correct that.
Yeah, absolutely. but not all of them were by forwards. I mean, the guards had four of them, I think, if I'm reading this correctly, 6, 7, 11. And I think there were probably some team rebounds, but the offense looked like it was flowing and just looked like there was some movement. Guys are just being unselfish, attacking the basket. It was awesome to see Casey move without the ball a lot today.
Yeah, I think offensively, one, when we shoot the ball where we're making threes, I think we always look better offensively. But I thought Kihei made a point to touch the paint and to drive and get downhill. And then that opened up some opportunities for guys. And we've got to get paint touches either with him penetrating, with Reese penetrating, Casey touching the paint, or guys on the block posting, throwing the playing inside, throwing it back out, getting easier looks. And we did that. I think we got a couple threes, a couple jump shots where they doubled the post. And we were able to just, you know, make the extra pass or find the open man off of the post double. So if they have to put two on one guy, we've got to take advantage of that. But then you got to go make shots. And I thought we, for the most part, we made shots. And offense always looks good when the ball's going there.
Yeah. Well, in addition to that, the front court just seems so aggressive, right? Just, I mean, some dunks, some offensive rebounds, some good moves. Caden even had one move that I didn't know he could make and missed it off a really good move, got his own offensive rebound, kicked it out, made an unselfish play, kicking it out. He looked really good today.
Yeah.
And I think that you guys beat a team that you're supposed to beat. You guys handle a team that you're supposed to, like good teams do.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think the guys were eager to get back out there, to be honest. I think they were excited about the opportunity to play Michigan State. Disappointed that didn't happen. Obviously disappointed in not being able to play Nova. And so now you're like, all right, we're itching at the bit to get out there and we want to play. We want to play. And that they showed that. And you know, they put in some work. You know, the practices were competitive and you know, I anticipated us playing well and playing with more energy, and I'm glad we did.
All right. So I don't know if this is a little controversy. I'm not sure what's going on. People are asking. We want to know. No Cody Statman today. Is he okay?
Yeah, he's fine. He. It was practice. We had to hold him for this game and moving forward, we'll see. He got dinged up during the practice. So we'll see how he is moving forward.
All right. And the other person who had been playing well that curious about is Justin McCoy. Seven mm-hmm. minutes tonight where he had been playing really well. Mm-hmm. Is everything okay with him?
Yeah, everything's fine. I just think, you know, I talked about our depth and we're just, you know, we're searching. It's still early in the year, but we're searching for the right pieces and combinations. And, you know, guys are going to have to continue to compete. But he might get seven today and, you know, 20 next game, and you just got to be ready when your number's called. And I thought those guys did a good job when they came in. They came in, they played with life, and they were good on the bench. You could hear them rooting their teammates on. I thought they were pretty good.
Yeah, you could see today where the team is really talented. And then they've had some tough games or some close games. And again, this is a team that's going to have to take some time to gel. And I think, you know, with a guy like Justin, who's coming off the bench now, who had been playing well, it shows the depth of how talented UVA actually is.
Right. I mean, so and again, it's so hard to play. When you're talking about 13 guys that could potentially play, and that's just a hard rotation to have. And so we're early in the year. This is only what, game five, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So we're just still trying to figure it all out. But we got a big one coming up on the 26th, that's for sure.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So speaking of the big game on the 26th, there are messages posted and people talking about, well, why would UVA schedule this game with Gonzaga? And one of the things I immediately think about is, well, we scheduled a game against Nova that was canceled, scheduled a game against Michigan State that was canceled. Game against Florida were canceled, three high-level teams. And then you look back last year, and you had Purdue. And I'm not comparing the two teams. Well, you can always compare the two teams, this year's team and last year's team. But playing Purdue while you got walloped, still had to help you, I would imagine.
It absolutely helped us. I think it opened some guys' eyes to, hey, this is the big boys, big boy league you're playing in. And obviously you always take lessons from losses and wins, and you grow from those experiences. But you're right. We haven't played, you know, a big boy, so to speak. And I'm thankful that Gonzaga was looking for a game and needed a game, and we needed obviously a game. Hell, we could use another game against a caliber like Gonzaga if we can squeeze it in the schedule. And I don't know if that's going to happen. But like you said, you miss out on the ACC Big Ten Michigan State game. You miss out on the Nova game. I think the guys are looking forward to playing someone like a Gonzaga.
Do you prefer going into the Gonzaga game after nearly 3 weeks off with just one game against a team like William & Mary, or would you prefer to have a game in between, maybe against a more competitive opponent?
I'm not sure it matters if we were coming off of the pause, Mark. I think this group wants to play. They want to see where they stack up. Obviously, as coaches, you want to play games and be in a groove and you know, kind of have your rotation down and have some stuff in where, you know, you're just a little more prepared. But from the player standpoint, knowing those guys, they would have come off of the layoff and played Gonzaga today. They'll be ready for them on the 26th. I don't know if it necessarily matters if we had one game, two games. They're really damn good. So we just got to be at our best when it's time to play.
Gonzaga averaging nearly 95 points a game. Is this a classic case of great offense and great defense? Traditional great defense?
It's a classic case of contrast and styles for sure. We're going to have to try to slow them down and not allow them to get out in transition. But watching film on them, I mean, they're clearly the best team in the country. Obviously, they're number one right now. I don't know if there are many better than them. And watching what they did to Iowa, who I thought was a really good team, they kind of led them from start to finish. So we got our work cut out. They can get out in transition. They can score in the post. They can shoot the three. Suggs is a dynamic freshman. They've just got ball players at every spot. So we've got to be ready.
What's the drills that you guys may do in practice to slow down the transition?
Can we send five guys back and just be down the floor on defense while the other five are playing offense, and then have the offensive five step off? If we can do that, we'll be all right.
I'll give you a reference again to Chris Havlicek, who talked about when he was on the team at UVA, they would go seven guys of the second or third unit against the first five. Mm-hmm. Right, during, whether it's to slow for the first five to get used to playing against a fast paced game. Is that something that you guys would consider doing in practice as well?
No, I don't know if we'll go against seven. Normally, when we go against seven, that's against teams that are pressing and trapping, and we throw six or seven dudes on the floor to try to speed us up and turn us over. And can you handle that? They're different. I mean, They're like Duke a few years ago, and I can only compare Duke, them to Duke being in our league when they had Justice Winslow and those guys, and they could get rebounds one through four, sometimes one through five, and push it. Like they could, Winslow would get a rebound at the four and he'd go, or Ingram or Tatum when those guys, so one through four, getting the rebound, starting to break. That's a hard thing to handle. because most teams, you know, have two bigs on the floor, but their guys can all, or skill can all push it. And he gives them freedom to play. They'll shoot threes early. They'll set ball screens early. They'll just play one-on-one. You know, they'll try to make plays. And so, you know, it's a tall ask. We've got our hands full, but we'll be prepared. We'll be ready. We're going to do our best to slow them down. We can't allow them to get out in transition.
I'm going to give a plug to Locker Room Access and, of course, our genius producer, CEO, founder, TW, who decided to came up with the great idea of having a preemptive podcast, What If UVA Plays Gonzaga? This was before the game was publicly announced. So we did a podcast, and we had Kevin Hobde, who's the associate head coach of San Francisco, who is the engineer for San Francisco's style of offense. And we also had Ferris Wasim on, who you know, mm-hmm. was the manager at UVA and now the Dobo director of basketball operations.
At Portland.
Portland, exactly, right. So they both came on the show and the podcast. So folks, if you want to hear about more about what Gonzaga does, please check that out on Locker Room Access. And they basically were saying that they just go at you, right? They want to push the ball down your throat. They want to come off ball screens. They haven't shot it. So San Francisco played them three times last year. And last year, they were a bit of a different team. And I think they were talking about going under the screen sometimes, if I remember correctly. But they're still a really good shooting team this year, right? Jalen Suggs, I think he was 7-for-10 from three last game.
Yeah.
But they want to push the ball. They want to run. And even in the half court set, they want to push the ball down your throat.
Well, and so they want to run and make or miss, they want to run. Yep. And, you know, Kispert and Suggs are shooting the ball well from three. But everybody else is shooting, you know, they're making twos at a high percent. I bet most guys on their team are above 40% from the field. And shoot, they're getting high percentage shots and they're making them. They want 100 possessions if they could get it. They want as many possessions in the game as they can get. And we've got to limit that. And then we've got to try to go down and get good shots and be efficient on our end.
What's the plan to attack their defense?
I mean, we're going to run what we run. We're going to try to get high efficient shots, not shoot too early, and just, you know, UVA basketball, you know, as folks like to say. But I think that's how we got to play, because our margin of error is small this year, and we've got to make teams earn on their end, and then we've got to get high efficient shots on our end.
Yeah, I go back to, I think this is a great game for UVA to play.
But no mistake, it is. I'm glad we're playing. I'm glad they were able to do it. Unfortunate that we couldn't play Nova, you know, for whatever reasons, you know, the mix up in how long we were supposed to be in quarantine and all of that. So it just didn't work out. And I really like that game. Every time I see Jay Wright, whenever we're recruiting, and you know, he's like, are we scrimmaging this year? Are we getting the home at home? He loves the game. We love the game. I think it's good for both schools.
Absolutely. Two great teams, two great coaches, and several players go on to the next level from both programs. Last night on the Dave Kane, Tony Bennett show, they talked about how the game, the genesis of the game, that was CBS called you guys. Is that correct? And said, hey, do you guys want to play Gonzaga?
I'm not exactly sure how that Ronnie and Tony, they handle all of those scheduling. I'm so glad I don't do scheduling, especially this year with the way COVID has affected scheduling. That's probably right. I'm pretty sure they were looking for several schools, and it just so happened, you know, we didn't play those games and we had space.
When do you guys take off?
God, if I'm not mistaken, Mark, Christmas, we'll be leaving here Christmas Eve.
Yep.
We'll practice there Christmas Day, play on the 26th.
Okay, in Fort Worth, Texas. I will be in Oklahoma City hanging out with my child. So only a couple hours away, we may try to come down and support.
I think they're tickets. I mean, I think they're letting fans in the game. So that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. No, there are. There are a limited number of seats.
Okay.
And I'm hoping that Ronnie Weidman will take care of Ty.
You better call him, because I think our allotment, if I'm not mistaken, our allotment was pretty small. So you guys better jump on that.
Well, fortunately, he's got a decent salary, much higher than mine.
I can afford a ticket or two.
He can afford to support the school. That's absolutely right. And he should be grateful to you guys. No question about it. What's practice like tomorrow? And will you guys practice on the 24th before you take off?
Yeah, we'll practice. We'll practice. We'll practice 24th, 25th, play the 26th. I think tomorrow we might have to be off. Because you have to have a day off during the week. So I think we're off. And we'll have 2 days to prep. But it's good. I quite honestly, I think William and Mary, at least for our bigs, especially Jay and Caden and even Poppy, who got some minutes today, I think all of the ball screens that William and Mary put us in will be somewhat similar to what Gonzaga does with some of their ball screen action. So it was a little bit of a prep in regards to half court stuff, but nothing could simulate how fast they get up and down the floor.
Now, is this an inconvenience, or players and coaches upset in any way that you have to travel on Christmas and play the day after Christmas? Or is everybody okay and excited about this? And what would you guys do as a group on Christmas Day?
That's a good question. I know, you know, it's not ideal for staff with family and kids and not being around during Christmas. But, you know, this year has been one of those years where you just got to you got to be flexible and you got to be able to adjust on the fly. And so the guys weren't going to go home anyway. They would have been here. We'll do something. I'm pretty sure we'll have something that we do Christmas Day as a group to celebrate. Quite honestly, I'm just fortunate that we're playing. Right. You know, there's a lot during these times that are going on. People, no jobs, no food. You know what we're going through. To be able to play is a blessing in itself. So we're happy and very appreciative of the opportunity.
And normally your families, I imagine, would be able to travel?
In a normal year, yeah.
During the holiday season. I know Thanksgiving a couple of years ago, right, everybody had their family out with them in Bahamas, which was always a nice trip.
Right. In a normal year, we would have been off Christmas and we would have got all of these games then, and it wouldn't have been a reason to schedule during the Christmas holiday. You know, we would have given them, 3 days off, 4 days off, for Christmas. So it's just what COVID has made happen this year.
Yep. All right, we got a couple of questions from the audience. First one is from Who and True, and this is: what are your thoughts on team chemistry and how this group is bonded, or lack of? Also, how often do the coaches check in on the players just to see how they're doing mentally and the times we're in?
So I think this group is, I think they're getting closer. And if they're not, it's a shame, because that's all they've had is each other right now. They don't go to class, obviously. They're doing a lot of stuff from home. And so they're always together. So I think this group's unique in that there is a bond. I know they're always together. We're in our own little bubble right now. If they're not playing cards or video games or whatever, they're just hanging out in their dorms or in their apartments. So I think we're a tight-knit group. How that translates to performance on the floor remains to be seen, because we haven't played as many games. But I think they all get along. I think there's trust amongst each other. and they're still trying to figure out each other from a basketball standpoint. In regards to their mental whereabouts and how they're doing, and do we check in? Absolutely. We do team Zooms. You know, if they need to talk after practice, before practice, we're always around. But as best we can, we're trying to be there and keep this as normal as possible. But it's just different times that we're in. But I do think the Zooms that we have when we're all together have been good for them.
Absolutely. Here's another one from Who and True. If a team is playing small ball, do we want to play Huff and give him as many more touches in the paint? Or do we go small and play a lineup where we even see Hauser and Murphy at the 4 and 5 switching on defense?
I think it depends on how small ball truly is. If it's four guards with a traditional big, then yeah, Jay will be on the floor and we can leave him on the floor. If it's four or five, like small, really small guards, maybe, you know, a guy that's 6'7" at the five, who's more perimeter oriented, then who knows, maybe we would play, match him. But if there's a matchup for Jay or Caden or somebody where they could stay on the floor, then we'd like to utilize that size and take advantage of that. Especially if not throwing it into the post, because of potential double teams, at least being able to get offensive rebounds, beat them on the glass.
Okay.
So I think it depends on you know what the other team is doing and how big.
All right. Thanks, Who and True. Here's one more from Forrest Who. Why don't we run more ISO post-ups on the block for Trey or Sam when they have smaller guards on them?
You know, you're tugging at my heartstring with that question, because I'm the big man coach and I'm always yelling in practice to at least throw it in there. But part of that is those guys, quite honestly, are more comfortable facing than playing with their back to the basket. And I know Sam can do it, but I think that's just a matter of being able to have some post actions that we can go to take advantage of that. But I think so far so good. But maybe you see that as the season evolves.
I thought, you know, he's so smart in the post, Sam. He got a low post action this today, and the court wasn't completely spread.
And he moved the guy. He said,
"Move." Moved it out the way. Yeah. I mean, just has such a high level of understanding and awareness.
Well, his feel for the game is tremendous, and I do think I'm always, you know, like, Just looking there one time to the big guys. But part of that is those guys got to demand it and sit in there and post harder. So, you know, that's on me. I've got to get them to fight and ask and get better position. Quite honestly, as a guard, and I played both in college, both spots, but I wouldn't throw it to you if you weren't posting hard and didn't demand the ball. If you were going to just halfway post, I won't throw it to you. But if I can see your numbers and you're posting big, then we best believe we should throw it in there. So, you know, we got to do better, but I think you'll see that as we progress.
I know it's been a long day for you, so we're going to end the show a little earlier than we normally do. But before we let you go, what will you watch any games tonight? There's a couple of ACC matchups. I think NC's playing NC State.
I got the TV. I'm in a new location. I don't know if you can tell. I'm downstairs. I was breaking down our game. I got the TV on in front of me. I'm watching. Yeah, I'll watch more basketball tonight. It's hot. After games, I don't normally sleep well. I'm still, adrenaline's going. I'm still up. So I may be up. It was an early start. It was a 2 o'clock start, but I could be up to maybe 1-2 o'clock tonight, just the way I'm wired. So yeah, I'll be up for a while.
And some good NBA games on too.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, it's hard for me to watch early season NBA games, but if I'm not mistaken, Joe's playing right now.
Joe's playing right now.
Yeah.
They're up 20 on Golden State.
Wow.
Kyrie 17, Kevin Durant 10, Joe Harris 6. Joe is 2 for 4 from 3 with 3 rebounds and 2 assists.
Hey, just stand somewhere and let those two superstars find you. All Joe has to do is make shots.
Yeah, right. And make shots and don't turn the ball over too many times and you make 20 mil a year, right?
That's it. He's got to be in heaven right now playing with those guys. They look good, though, from what I hear.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they do. You know, Ty was telling me how he played against in L.A. a couple of weeks ago. He and Dre played with Kyrie, James Harden, and Kevin Durant. And he's telling me it, and I'm just such a big basketball fan. And I'm like, wow, really? And then I had to remind myself that he actually plays against those guys.
He does it all the time.
Yeah. But he just said Kyrie is just, you know, the best player. And well, I don't know if he said the best, but he said he's just so talented, right?
All of those guys. What folks don't understand is all of those guys are.
Yeah.
So you can get the 13th, 14th, and 15th guy on a roster, the dudes that are in street clothes, and you had them go to a pickup game, and they'll run circles around anyone in that pickup game. Like, those guys are phenomenal basketball players. Yeah. Not everyone can be a superstar, but those guys in their own right are all so talented, so good. Their ability to make shots, create shots, and make contested shots is why they're pros.
I've been having the conversation and raising it over the last couple of weeks, and saying and asking people, and this is a long conversation, right? And a long debate. And I think Locker Room Access is gonna sponsor a show on this at some point. Is it harder to make the league or is it harder to stay in the league, right? Because it has to be one, if not the only industry, one of the very, very few industries where you get a job and 10 people are there recruited next year to replace you, right? So unless you're the top 3-4 guys on the team, you may not be there next year.
Correct.
Right.
That's a great question. I often say it's harder to make it, because once you get in, if you're fortunate to get in, then you've already got a leg up on anybody trying to come in and take your spot. And you just got to be professional, go to work, do your job, because part of it's culture, right? So if you're on a team and you're a professional, you might not be playing. They just want good guys in their programs, in their system.
I'm going to debate you on that, because if you're 8th, 9th, 10th man or 11th man or 12th or 13th, the team is already at least drafting one player, right? Right. So that guy's got a spot. And if you're drafting the first round, he's got a guaranteed contract for a minimum of guaranteed 2 years.
But they're veterans that are on their way out, conversely, that are retiring, that are, you know, because look, Father Time eventually catches up with all of those guys, right? So if you're young and in the league on your first contract and you just go about your business, most of the time I think you can get to a second one if you produce and you're a good citizen, right? You do right, but if you're a knucklehead and you've gotten traded 2, 3, 4 times, that becomes an issue. That becomes hard. And that's when I think it's harder to stay in.
Agreed.
I think it's easier to stay on that, to stay in the league. Like, you didn't present it that way. To stay in the league, it may be difficult to stay on that one team.
But to stay in the league, somebody else will pick you up, right?
Exactly. If you just do what Jason said and just keep your nose clean, just do what you ask when you get the time to come in.
And I'm not saying you're wrong, but you can debate the other side too, right? Because if there's 15 guys, 13 guys that are active, and there's 10 new guys invited to training camp every year, and everybody's so good, right? Everybody's ridiculously good. Right. Somebody's got to go, and it could be somebody from the previous year.
I think you're right. We could go around in circles about this, but I do think it's like coaching. Once you got in, they kind of just recycle those guys, and they go to new teams, and you know. So if you're a player and you know the ins and outs of the league and you know what it takes. I think other teams will say, you know, he was here, we'll take him and give him a 1 year, 2 year deal, but you know, you're still in the league. I don't know.
Look at the stats from 4 or 5 years ago and see how many guys that were drafted in the first or second round are still in the league. TW, and we won't spend too much more time on this. TW came with me with a stat the other day. There are fewer than 5,000 people, and I hope I have this right, that have ever played in the NBA.
That's right.
Fewer than 5,000 people. You know what I mean? There's 7.6 billion people in the world.
So then that I win because it's
harder to get in. I'm not saying which way's right. I'm not
saying it's harder to get in.
It's impossible to get into the league.
It's so hard.
It's impossible, right? And you could make the case that outside the top 3-4 guys, who's going to be back next year, right?
Hey, I dropped the mic. T-Dubs, thanks for that stat. Drop the mic.
Well, here's the other piece of it. It's remarkable that UVA has 9 guys in the league right now.
Yeah. London just got it signed a contract. Yeah. No. There you go. I won. My wife would be proud of me. The attorney would be like, there you go. I won that argument.
Clearly, you guys are spending a lot of time together. Where she's teaching you, you're helping her with her cases. All right, Jay Wills, always a pleasure. Thanks for coming on to the special holiday Jay Willie show.
Hey, listen, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to all those folks out there. Watch us. We need all the support we can get. We need that good karma coming through the TV screen.
Saturday, 4:00.
Yep.
December 26th. Have a very safe travel day on Thursday.
Christmas Day. Yeah. I don't know the day. The 24th. All I know is numbers now. Yeah.
Yep. Christmas Eve. What are you getting your kids? Can you tell us that real quick?
This year's been, it's all been online. So, and nothing too big. They wanted clothes and shoes and they got all the Nike stuff they wanted. I think the wife was able to find some. My youngest Cameron wants more Xbox video game. He wants a whole gaming station downstairs. I'm not ready for that. But then, you know, I think they're behind me. I better shut up. We'll let them open gifts before I take off.
And if Quamina's not watching the show or won't be later, can you tell us what you got her for Christmas?
Yeah, we didn't do gifts this year. It was only the kids this year. So, but I always take care of her.
That's sweet.
She's in the other room. Yeah, they're all listening to me right now.
Okay, we won't put you on the spot in that case. All right. What are you getting YB for Christmas?
Oh, that's the question.
I'm gonna send YB some UVA gear. I got plenty of gear.
That's 15, man. 15?
Is that recycled gear or is that new gear?
No, I got new gear. I got some gear I can send my mom.
I'll take 15s recycled, like from one game or one practice.
You want shoes, not gear?
I want it all. I mean, but I have never gotten shoes since you've been coaching. So that's what, 12 years at UVA?
I got you.
How many people have 3 theme songs for their show? He deserves some kind of present from you.
Ask him again.
How many people got a show? I still can't believe I got a freaking show name after me.
Well, then maybe
you know what else?
Taking care of T-Dubs too.
Let me tell you this too, Jay. We can do this off air, but I already did what you requested of me.
Oh, you the man. Thank you. Thank
already you. Did it.
Done deal. Right. All right.
Happy holidays, everybody. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa. Festivus. If we will see you next week following the UVA Gonzaga game. Hopefully no issues happen. And hopefully, Jay Wills, I'll see you in Fort Worth, Dallas-Fort Worth at the game.
Safe travels.
Yep, you too. YB.
Hey, let me get this in, brother. Got a big Christmas show tomorrow on Twitch, 7:00, YB Wednesday, special Christmas edition. twitch.tv/DJYB. YB is WHYBE.
Last week's show was crazy.
Thank you, man. If crazy is good, thank you.
Crazy good. It just flowed.
Appreciate it. It was old school.
Craziest music. Old school. I was living on all kinds of memories last week.
You being from New York, you probably was right there with me. Yeah, you know what I was playing. It was a lot of that old school New York, old school. No hip hop, but you know, good dance music. Stuff you probably used to skate to.
Oh, wow. Now you're really bringing up the Roxy downtown Manhattan. All right, YB. Take us away, babe. Appreciate it. Happy holidays.
Got a Christmas edition of your theme song. Let's go.